Today's episode is dedicated to the memory of Leonard Nimoy. You're listening to The Keith Show, starring Keith. I'm Keith. With me today is Dean.
And I'm not Keith.
He's not. He's better.
Nobody's better than Keith.
That's right. Don't you forget it.
Forget what?
We're here to talk to you about Star Trek, specifically Star Trek, the original series. We're going to talk about our 10 favorite episodes, singularly, not together, but what we're going to do is do a kind of a round robin, like he'll do his number 10, I'll do my number 10. I've done this in the past, you know the drill, so let's just get into it.
All right.
Would you like to go first, sir?
Okay. My number 10 is Spock's brain.
Really?
Yes.
You know, a lot of people call this maybe the worst episode.
I enjoy it. I mean, we're talking about our favorites, right?
Not this is true.
Yeah, this is just one I, every time I see it, I enjoy it more and more.
Those space Amazon women's are certainly iconic.
Oh, yeah. For Kirk to go loving on.
Did he actually get with any of them in that one?
I don't remember, but it's Kirk. Of course he did.
Yeah. I love that they found a way to actually still have Leonard Nimoy act in the episode, just as like a shambling zombie.
Yeah, little diodes on his head.
Yeah. So the... I forget what did they need Spock's brain for?
Hold on a second. I'm going to find the synopsis.
Yeah. Spock's brain.
Okay. A group of women steal Spock's brain to run the computer, which keeps them safe from the savage men who live outside their underground city.
Oh, see? It's perfectly reasonable.
Chivalry and all that.
the rock band Fish performs a song entitled Spock's Brain, apparently.
Yes, and there is a progressive rock group called Spock's Beard.
That would be his fake wife?
Yeah, it's Cuttlefish.
So that he could be fan fiction with Kirk.
That's right. He could be in all those slash pieces without ruining his reputation.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. My number 10 choice is on a similar note. We could perhaps call it Spock's Libido. And that's Amok Time. A.K.A. Vulcan Spring Break.
Vulcan Rumspringer.
Yeah. Spock goes into Vulcan heat and has to be diverted to his homeworld, or else he will, like, die or something.
Yeah, isn't that the typical old case that guys used to throw at women? If I don't do it, I'm gonna die.
Yeah, I mean, it's like only once every 7 years. He doesn't actually mate in it, though, is the thing. So, obviously, Vulcans do lie.
Yes. And he and Zoidberg have something in common.
Yes. And I don't know if this was the first time they introduced the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da music, fight music for the glorious Kirk on Spike hooked scythe battle. Yeah, and basically this other Vulcan steals Spock's woman. And Spock's like, it's cool, man.
Bro, not much into her anyway.
Bros before, yeah.
I'm going to go on back on my big party ship and just get drunk.
I'm going to be married to my ship like Kirk. And we're going to bang space chicks. Green ones. Or Uhura, apparently. Yeah, technically, if you think about it. In that 2009 movie, when he was getting with Uhura, he was engaged.
Yeah, he was.
Spock, you cad! Because they were betrothed since childhood. But she didn't want to be with a half-breed.
Because that's nice and judgmental.
Yeah. And Spock's all like, whatever. I wouldn't want to be with her after that either. Here, fight your best friend to the death to prove you love me. Women.
Jeez. Just cut my hair off, why don't you?
Yeah, amongst other things.
Ba-boom! So, number 9. I chose Mudd's women.
Okay. This is the first appearance of Harry Mudd, I believe?
Yes, it is. He is found lost traveling with his cargo, quote-unquote, which turns out to be 3 women. And hilarity ensues therefrom.
It's kind of interesting that you picked that one for your number 9, because for my number 9, I picked I, Mudd.
The follow-up.
Yes, the second appearance of Harry Mudd, wherein he is now ruling an entire planet of androids, most of which designed as to be beautiful women, but some are men too, which he uses, and he captures the Enterprise crew, and to defeat them they have to essentially confuse the androids to death.
Yes.
And I would caution its hazard that it's probably the funniest episode of Trek.
Especially the end where they bring out the android wife.
Yeah, who we can no longer shut.
Sentin Mod!
How many are there? There are 500!
My number 8 is The Savage Curtain.
Okay.
This is the episode where Spock goes feral, essentially.
As he gets all hopped up on spores or something?
Yeah, and he kind of claims, I can't remember her name now. He claims a woman is his and is, like, ready to kill Kirk because...
He did that a lot, actually.
...territorial over it.
Oh, Spock. You ain't that logical after all.
Bum, 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 bum.
My number 8 is Space Seed.
Oh.
Which
awesome.
Which introduced us to the greatest Star Trek villain ever. Khan!
Yes, indeed.
And what I think about it, what makes Khan so interesting as a villain is that he's... Even though he's enhanced, he represents everything that they want not to be anymore. The ruthlessness, the power madness, the arrogance.
Yeah, for all the talk about how humanity has left all that stuff behind in this timeline, Khan is the throwback of everything that was.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's necessarily that the individual episode is that great, but the fact that without this, you can't have Wrath of Khan.
Right. Well, plus you got Ricardo Montalban. Everything with
yeah.
It's always better.
And he's so pimping this. When he's seducing the Enterprise crew woman, she's like, I shouldn't do this. He's like, fine, then leave. And she's like, but wait. And he's like, or stay, but do it because you want to. And she's just like, magnetized.
Playing psychology, making it her choice.
Yeah. It's like, fine, leave. I don't care. Pimpest man on the Enterprise. And that was in Kirk's day.
All right, I gotta have a redo here because I chose the right episode, but I gave the wrong description.
Okay.
The Savage Curtain isn't about Spock going feral. It's about the 4-on-4 confrontation by an alien, where Kirk, Spock, and Abraham Lincoln and Spock.
That's right.
And this is the introduction of Kalis.
Yes.
It becomes important even later with Next Generation and TS9.
Isn't one of the others on the other side Colonel Green?
Yes. There's Colonel Green and Genghis Khan.
Anytime Kirk and Spock could team up with Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. Just so random and strange, but still kind of fun. Especially when the evil guys are doing like imitations, trying to lure out Kirk and Spock by making them think they killed Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, who were the other people on the other side? Let's see. It was Kirk, Spock, Abraham Lincoln,
and Surak.
Surak, the founder of Vulcan Logic. Colonel Green, Genghis Khan, Kalis, and Zora of Tiburon. She was, apparently a super evil geneticist.
Scary.
Scary. But, you know, a lot actually came from that episode that got referenced later.
Yeah.
And Surak is dressed totally like a hippie there from this image. Okay, we're on to your number 8 or your number 7?
My number 7.
Okay.
Which, for that one, I chose the Doomsday Machine.
Oh, I kind of wish I'd been able to get this on my list. It's not, but it's so good. An extragalactic ice cream cone.
I always thought it was a giant bugle.
Yeah. Comes in and it's destroying planets. And it's from some long-vanished civilization and the Enterprise has to stop it. It's just solid. And I think
it'd try to stop William Decker from trying to destroy it on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to make that tough call because here's this weapon that is just, you know, you can't let this thing run around on its own, and Decker knows this, but...
What, that was Decker?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh,
the
yeah.
Same Decker that was...
His son was in the motion sickness.
Oh, that was supposed to be his son. Okay. Okay. I did not realize that connection. Yeah. And then his son did basically the same kind of thing.
Yeah, like father, like son. It's like, what, really? Come on. Oh.
It makes me wonder if the V'ger was supposed to be, like, originally considered to be the Doomsday Machine again.
Which is just another part of my problem with that movie. It was just such a rehash.
Yeah.
And it was an overly long episode that was just full of filler and just very boring.
You know, I've thought that a great concept for the next film that they do would be to not redo the Doomsday Machine, but expand upon the idea and have basically bring in the Klingons too, and both sides are trying to get control of this thing because it's like the ultimate weapon.
Yeah, that would be pretty interesting.
And then they realize it's just too dangerous. And then you can have, like, Kang be the Kirk's opposite number on the Klingon ship. Paramount, call me. For my number 7, I picked The Trouble with Tribbles. Mostly because I wanted a good, solid Klingon episode in here, which I thought was an essential part of the series, and I didn't get in any of my other top picks. So you get, you know, some subterfuge, the Cold War aspect between them and the Klingons. And you get Kirk buried in Dryerland.
My toupees, they found them.
You're number 6.
That would be Mirror Mirror. That is the infamous alternate universe version where everyone is evil because they wear goatees.
The darkest timeline. You know, I think I really liked this episode, but I don't like what it spawned later on when it got to around Deep Space Nine, and then, like, they were constantly going to the mirror universe again and again.
Yeah, it's like almost like every series has had to do this at some point.
And it's just like, yeah, okay, we get it. And everyone's directly opposite. It wasn't even realistically, like, the idea that this is a world where the Federation went bad. It was just, no, just everyone's, like, flipped. They're inverted. My number 6 choice was The Menagerie, where they repurposed footage from the original pilot. And we got a chance to see that story as well as another story. And it presented a moral quandary of where does duty end and personal loyalty begin.
And that episode won the Hugo for that year, as far as I remember.
Did they have the Hugo back then?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, we should be on to your number 5, I believe.
Yes, I chose Bread and Circuses.
Interesting choice. This is Planet Rome, right?
Yes. Yes, it is Roman Bacchanalia. They come to discover that there is a counter-movement going on about the sun.
The sun worshippers, yes.
Yeah. And it turns out at the end that it wasn't the sun in the sky, it was the Son of God.
Yeah, I don't know how... It seemed a little odd for Star Trek. Because they ended the episode by essentially saying, yup, Christianity is real. And we could prove it because we could just beam down to the planet and meet them. But, you know, we're never coming back here later. And again, it's another episode where Spock has to fight Kirk, isn't it?
Yes, it is, because they do the gladiatorial fights.
This was part of the fine tradition of Star Trek episodes of the time where, you know, they had, like, Planet Rome, Planet Native American, Planet Gangster, Planet Nazi.
Yeah.
At least Planet Gangster and Planet Nazi were a result of people from Earth interfering and trying to run things their way. Wasn't Planet Nazi essentially somebody from the Federation showed up, he got stranded there, and he tried to organize their society, and he thought that the most efficient way to do it was to replicate National Socialism or something.
Yeah, I think that was it. It's been a while. But, you know, they could have mentioned to him about how they'd already met the Greek gods. And...
Yeah, and there were like 73 planet hippies.
Well, you know, it was big at that time, so I guess they kind of had to explore it somewhat.
Nothing quite as shameful as first season Next Generation episode where they went to planet Africa, though.
Oh, God. Yeah, that one's terrible. Think of what they would do nowadays. It would, like, be Planet Hipster.
I liked the old Enterprise.
Before it was cool.
Yeah, you know.
How do you pedal through space on a unicycle and a pair of flaming bagpipes?
Although they might like the new Enterprise because it looks like an Apple store.
It's all clear.
Yeah, yeah. They'd assume everyone was evil because they all had ironic goatees. Now that is the darkest timeline.
The cottage industry and those giant rimmed glasses to make everyone look like they're from ABBA.
Okay, my number five pick is Balance of Terror.
Nice.
The first episode to ever introduce the Romulans. It essentially played but just like a submarine combat film.
Yeah, you sank my battleship.
Yeah, and it showed the Romulans as a really competent threat. It showed Kirk having to outfox them. It showed essentially that it made them sympathetic too at the same time. It was just probably the best space combat episode, maybe of any Trek incarnation. Number four.
My number four is Let That Be Your Last Battlefield.
Oh, okay. This was almost my number 10. But I decided to go with Spock's libido.
Gotcha. Libido always wins out.
This one is so heavy-handed, but it's so memorable, too.
Yeah, it is very, very much the whole retrospective on the civil rights movement.
Yeah. It's got a great ending, though, because they fight each other. They're the last two people of their entire planet, and they're going to continue this stupid, pointless war over. This is the one where half the planet, one side of their face is white and the other side is black, and the other half is the reverse image.
Yeah. And their total war has reduced them to just those two, so they somehow end up on the Enterprise and involve the entire crew in their civil war.
Yeah. And they manage to get back down to the ruined surface of their planet. And they're going to just obliterate each other because they don't know how to do anything else anymore. My number four pick was The Devil in the Dark. This is the Enterprise gets called in when a mining colony is attacked by an alien creature, and they're trying to deal with it. It seems to be immune to the primitive phasers that the miners have, so they're upgrading some of the ship's phasers to deal with it. And it's only after a few encounters and several deaths that they realize that it isn't just a creature, it's actually an intelligent, sentient being that is trying to protect its young that are being killed by the mining operation. And that it gives them a way to deal with an alien idea that it wasn't just, you know, the wrinkly forehead kind of thing. This is something that is completely not like a human. And they had to find a way to negotiate terms with it. Because as far as they knew, it was just an animal. And it's very Star Trek in that way. Trying to understand something that you have no concept for.
And I think there was even reference in the animated series that they had made one of the Horda a Federation member.
Really?
Yeah, there was a brief mention about one serving on a ship somewhere.
Huh.
Probably burned all its orders into the floor.
Yeah. I have the DVD set sitting here. I gotta go through that. It's been ages since I've seen any of those episodes. More than 20 years, I know that. Which shows how frivolously I spend money and and how quickly I get to stuff I buy.
It's that just that feeling of ownership. It's like at least I have it.
Okay, we're into the top three.
This is going to go quickly for me because my one and two are stuff you've already mentioned.
Okay.
My number three is City on the Edge of Forever.
Okay. That's my number two.
Ah, okay. Well, at least we're going to wrap this up quick. But, this has a Dr. McCoy doing an accidental drug overdose. And then he goes through a time portal where he changes the course of Earth's history, and Kirk and Spock have to pursue him into the past. And as usual, Kirk falls in love with a woman who was his actual wife at that time.
Was it?
Yeah, Joan Collins was Shatner's actual wife at that time.
I did not know that. Huh.
But, yeah, this was interesting because, there's all the big controversy about it because Harlan Ellison wrote this and the original script was a little more dark and Roddenberry didn't want to do quite that script. So they doctored it up to where it was more to his liking and this is what got put out.
Yeah, I think from what I've heard of the changes, it didn't need to be as dark as it was going to be.
Yeah, well, he had trouble with, the drug use.
Yeah. The design of the Guardian of Forever has to be one of the most outstanding science fiction images out there. And it's amazing because the episode, to win, they have to lose. They have to let a good person die to save history. It's a troubling conundrum. And this is why you don't mess with time travel. my number three pick was Arena.
Ah, the Gorn.
Yes. The Enterprise responds to a Federation colony being attacked, and they pursue the ship to a nearby planet where the captain of the Gorn ship and Kirk are snatched by yet another godlike alien entity and forced to fight for which ship gets a chance to survive on the planet's surface, and neither of their crews can interfere. And it's a battle of strength and wits because they only have their environment to work with. They don't have any weapons. And Kirk manages to win not by physically beating the Gorn, because he never could, but by constructing a cannon from what he found on hand in the environment. And I believe it was the Metron is the name of the entity. He determined that showed that the humans were more intelligent and therefore more evolved. So he let whatever it would happen to the Gorn be Kirk's decision, and Kirk decides to show mercy.
Now we get into number two, which had already been spoken on before, because I chose Menagerie 1 and 2.
That's my numbers.
I just love that they reused
the dad.
What's that?
Anything specific you wanted to add to it?
Well, yeah, the reason I like this so much is that they got to use the pilot that they could never really air, that never really got anywhere. And you got to see Spock being emotional and, you know, less of the Vulcan he is now, and them trying to have an explanation for it. I just thought it was really unique.
Mm-hmm.
They managed to work it in.
And the Talosians were such cool-looking aliens.
Yeah.
The giant, enlarged craniums.
Yeah, pretty iconic for a lot of fan art that came out, you know, for years after that, so.
Yeah.
It's kind of like almost as symbolic as anybody on the Enterprise themselves.
Yeah. Well, as we already said, my number two choice was City on the Edge of Forever. So, I guess we could go right to your number one.
Which was Space Seed.
Ah, okay. anything else in particular you want to say about that?
Well, just as a personal fond note, there was a time when I was still living near the Detroit area where this comedy group had done a reenactment of the Space Seed episode and Wrath of Khan into like one long play. And it was the time of my life. It was so much fun to see just how they spoofed the episode and the film. And it just added to the level of fondness that I had for Space Seed and Wrath of Khan and the whole Khan mythos, I guess.
Yeah. I think this might be the first episode that they showed engineering in, actually.
Probably so. I don't...
Because that's where he had the climactic fight with Khan.
Yes.
And he beat him with a wall pipe. A handy wall pipe. Okay, my number one pick is A Taste of Armageddon.
Hmm.
The Enterprise arrives in this system which has these twin planets which have been engaged in a war with each other for thousands of years. It's become their entire civilization. They've almost never known peace. And it got so destructive that they found a way to curb casualties and like the physical damage to their structures. They built these battle computers that would run the battles as simulations for them, and it would determine who won each individual battle, and people who were listed as casualties would then just go to these extermination chambers because they thought it was a cleaner way of fighting their war. And the Enterprise gets listed in the casualty thing, the casualty reports from these battle computers, so they expect everyone to just go along with it. And Kirk's like, no. I'm not going to have my crew just die for your war just because you can't be bothered to... They'd gotten so used to the cleanness of their war that they had gone beyond the point where they felt the need to end it. It was just the way society was now. It wasn't as horrible as it could be. So what Kirk winds up doing to resolve the problem and rescue the Enterprise hostages from the landing party that went down to the one planet is he destroys the battle computers, thus forcing them to, if you want to continue your war, you're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way now. With all the mess and the horror and monstrousness that comes with that. And you're going to have to decide if that's something you actually really want. Or you could decide to finally end it. It's, it makes a point for why war would have to be as awful as it is, because it gives you a reason to stop it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really interesting episode.
Yeah, just the presumptuous nature of that, of their lack of even finding an end to it.
Yeah, it's just, and
turning it into a calculation, like, hi, welcome to our planet, you're dead.
Yeah. There's no actual, you just, computer said that you were caught in the casualties of the latest battle, show up on Tuesday to be liquidated.
One Han Solo would rule this entire planet.
Yeah.
Never tell me the odds.
Exactly. that's about all I had.
And that's just a mere taste of the wonder that is the original series.
Yes.
Of Star Wars.
Green women. Who knew?
And Dolmen throwing temper tantrums.
I did find out something interesting. You know the goateed security officer in the new movies?
Yeah.
He was apparently, they actually gave a name for him in the most recent one, and they named him after a chief of security in the original series.
Oh, nice.
So now he's, like, officially that guy.
That means he can't die.
Well, he is wearing that. Okay, why don't you tell everyone where they can find your stuff?
Okay, you can read my webcomic at headlocksandheadaches.com. You can see my artwork on Facebook at facebook.com/DeanStallArt. And if you really want to follow me on Twitter, you can listen to me rant about wrestling at Dean_Stahl.
I follow him from the bushes.
He's outside my house right now.
Ooh.
This has been The Keith Show, starring Keith. Please follow us on Twitter at Keith Show Pod or like us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. Our theme music is 8-Bit Dungeon Boss by Kevin MacLeod, provided by a Creative Commons license. The Keith Show is a proud member of the Deliberate Noise Network. For this and other great shows, visit DeliberateNoise.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.